Christ is Lord. Sing it one more time. You're my Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Lord.
Amen.
You have risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ amazing grace, Lord, to us. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great are your mercies, Lord, which are new every day, Lord. We just want to take this moment tonight and just bask in your love and reflect our appreciation, Lord, to your love and admiration, Lord, for all that you are. Where would we be, Lord? How could we live without you? Lord, you're so beautiful, so lovely. We just want to tell you that tonight, Lord. I pray that you would receive love as each one now in our own hearts. We reflect that and we express that to you, Lord, that you would be so adored, so praised and lifted up, Lord. We desire now just that you would come and minister, Lord. Even now that you quiet our hearts down, Father, in this frantic age that we're living in, Lord, we need your grace every day, every moment. Lord, would you just let the things of this life, this earth, fade and become shadows in the light of you, Lord. We ask that you would be greatly lifted up and greatly exalted, Father. Desire more of you. We love what you've given to us. We love what you've shown to us, Lord, and we want more of you, Lord. Just ask you to come now and, Lord, bless these few loaves and fishes, Lord, multiply them in the hearts of people. Give you all thanks and praise, Lord. We bless your name. Just ask this all now in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, musicians. Sister Karen, appreciate you. And each one of you. I know a lot of people, that's not just down the street. So those of you who have come a little further, especially on a colder night, it's always appreciated. And always so grateful for the Schwartz family. I know the labor and the sacrifice over the years coming a little bit further out like that. It's a blessing. Appreciate it. So this is a little bit random. I think we've said this before. Just a quick announcement, if I can. This is, I'm pretty sure we've said this before, and I think I can say this. But I would like to just reiterate. The single sisters, the older ones, please, in this weather, the snow and the ice, anytime, flag one of us down and we will gladly bring your car to the door. I mean that. And I can speak for any of the other young men in here, we will gladly do that for you. So please, all winter long, let us know if you'd like your car brought to the door. So, very serious about that. And that's in the summertime as well. You are absolutely correct. Yes, ma'am. And don't be embarrassed to ask. That is correct. Excuse me, I just about dipped my mic in the water there. Pardon me. Lord is good. I excuse me. Just was meditating on before we kind of get started here. Meditating on some scriptures, and One that was just with me all day today was Psalm 46. I think it's 46. Be still. Know that I am God. And I just was meditating on that and thinking about that. And that word there, even looking into it, to be still, I think it implies just to relinquish, to let go. And I thought, what a beautiful grace. And what how much we need that to let go of this realm, let go of our senses. You know, Satan's constantly trying to just jam us, get us aggravated and all wrapped up and stirred up and so entangled and so caught up and distracted in this realm. And he, in his grace, with that sixth sense of faith, we can step away. We can let go of those things and by faith, again, by grace, enter into that realm of the eternal, the realm where he is. And that's what it means, I believe, to be still and to know that he is God. So pray that he would help us with that tonight and even grant that right now as we just go through this, the word, and take a little time before communion. This won't be much, I don't think, just a simple, simple thought tonight that we'll go into. Let's just stand. Just we'll open up with a passage here in Colossians chapter 1. And verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated. I like that. That word translated is transferred. He's transferred us into another kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. And then just one more while you're standing. John 14 and verse 20. We should probably just be able to say it by heart, but we'll go ahead and turn there. And 20 says, at that day, know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And you can be seated, and I think the beauty and the depth of this verse and the reality of this is going to become more sublime and more real and more rich all the time. That knowing that you will, each one of us, experience that revelation more and more, that we are one, and that's going to become so much more than something we just know. But it's going to be a living reality that breathes and lives and is expressed out of our lives. Because he in him, he in each one of us, him in me and him in you, must be expressed. So it's going to come to a place, I believe, by his grace of speaking and acting. That's what we're talking about here in knowing. But this just simple thought tonight I want to dwell on with these verses we've looked at is just oneness and the importance, I think, more and more that we see the reality, the true beauty and reality that I am a part of him. I cannot look at myself separate from him. The enemy is going to try to plague you all the time. He wants to separate you. He wants to get you to identify in yourself, in your circumstances, in your senses, but you're a part of him. You are flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. I think, again, this reality of oneness, in there is our security, in there is our satisfaction, in there is our completeness, in there is redemption. In there, in him, is my rapture. I'm a part of him. If that spirit is here, and I'm one with him, and I'm a part of him, that spirit's lifted off this earth, how else can I but leave with him? You're one with him. So just want to meditate on these things. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Again, just very simple here. Oneness is what we're going to kind of go through and look at. I hope that the Lord will just encourage our hearts in these things. And again, that as the hour gets later, the day gets later, this becomes more and more of a reality to us. Sorry, we were just there. I should have stayed there. I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, "And as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And what comes next? You're complete. You are complete right there in him, all that he is. You're a part of that. You're a part of him, which is the head of all principality and power. And look at that. I love this next word. We'll go into this later, but in whom? Those two words are so beautiful. In whom also you are circumcised, right? So it's because of that completeness, because you're in him who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and everything is met. Everything is in him. I want to go back over that, actually, if I can, in the WEAST, and I may even do it from the Amplified, we'll see, but that section, I think that is from verse 8, says, "Be ever on your guard, lest there shall be someone who leads you astray through his philosophy, even futile deceit, which is according to the tradition of men, according to the rudimentary teachings of the world, and not according to Christ, because in him..." This is beautiful. Listen to this. It's "in him there is continuously and permanently at home all the fullness of absolute deity in bodily fashion." And you are in him. I like that. That got a little bit wordy. I'm sorry. I know it does. Maybe I'll just put it out on Grace Ministries. You can savor that later. But let me just go through that one more time. "Because in him there is continuously and permanently at home all the fullness of absolute deity in bodily fashion, and you are in him, having been completely filled full with the present result that you are in a state of fullness." Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. It's, again, when we see ourselves, to reckon, to come into that reality that I'm a part of him. I can't look at myself apart from him. I can't look at him apart from me. We are one. Amen. Amen. So let's just continue with this. Just a simple study, but hopefully these things are a blessing and encouraging to you. This is from the Message Token. He says, "God's everlasting token, its eternal life by the eternal God, and anything that had a beginning has an end, and everything had a beginning besides God." He says, "And God is the only form of eternal life there is. And when God places his Holy Spirit in you, which is God, and when God places his self within you, you're as eternal as God is." I love that. He says, "But because you're a part of him. You're a part of him because you become a son or a daughter of God and are displaying his word." Hallelujah. I feel religious. That's true. God identifies it himself. You've got eternal life, and that's God in you. And this word is God. And that word lives and produces itself. Oh, don't you love that? Amen. Just exactly what God has ordained for this age. You have it, amen, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit being displayed. Yes, sir, what is it? The Holy Spirit, the Word, has been quickened to you by the Holy Spirit to vindicate this age that you have passed from death unto life. Again, you are a part of him. Eternal life is inside of you. You are one with him. Oh my goodness. Don't you love him? Okay, let me just bear with me a second. I'm going to use my phone for this next. I'm actually going to just put this on Grace Ministries 2, verse 6. And you can read and meditate on this later, but I just thought this was rich. So there it is. You've got part of my notes, and you can come back to that later. It's actually just the Amplified, same passage that we just read, but in the Amplified, similar to kind of to the West. So, all right, moving on. Just amazing to see the reality of what Brother Branham is expressing here. And I think the one thing I would say as we go through some of these messages together, this word is so rich and so beautiful. I think as the hour gets later, I am seeing more all the time how this is just opening up, and things that we have read and read for years are becoming new and becoming richer and becoming deeper. So I'm saying to myself, and I'll say it to you, hold on to your seats in an awesome way. There's this journey, and what he's opening up is, I just want to go right back through every message again and just keep digging in and exploring and savoring it, because every time there's something new. And I think as we progress and as we get closer, I think we're going to see more and more and more of these things just blossom and open up. And he and his grace will be revealing these things to him. So it's exciting to me what he's doing. But again, this, so many things here he talks about, just with the bride being part of the bridegroom, being one, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And we know, again, the enemy works so hard to combat that. He's trying to divide and to get you to identify with yourself. I'm just going to read on a little bit more, because in that same message, the token, watch where he takes us now. This is so beautiful. He says, now you are his. He says, because he is, we have the right to all that he purchased for us. Every promise in the Bible is yours. It belongs to you when the token is upon you and God has sealed you. Now we want to check ourselves just for a moment. When God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. Now that's true, and every theologian will have to admit that to be, yes, sir, it's the new birth, and you're born anew of the Holy Ghost. And because that God has did this, and you know you're no good in yourself, and you accept what God has did, then he seals you into his kingdom by the Holy Spirit. Remember that seal, the reality of that word. Seal, what is it? It signifies its security, its ownership. Pardon? Finished work. It's so much there, so beautiful. So he seals you into his kingdom by the Holy Spirit, and everything that Jesus purchased and promised you in the Bible is yours. You're a part of him. Amen. It's your property because it's paid for. Amen. Life is mine. He paid for it. Life is yours. He paid for it. Healing is mine. He paid for it. Healing is yours. He paid for it. Freedom is mine. He paid for it. Heaven is mine. I like that. He paid for it. He paid the price. Everything he purchased belongs to the man that holds the token. Amen. Pass my token upon the streetcar on that day of judgment, and I'll pass over you. Amen. Holding it in, holding your confession in the word that Jesus Christ has died for you. And when he does it, he displays himself through you. What a beautiful picture. What the oneness of God in his church. Amen. When you recognize the token, the life that it took for the blood to speak. So I pray even tonight as we're preparing for communion, these things would just be renewed in our hearts. We would just appreciate him more. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. You know we're going to include that, of course. How could we not? So beautiful. And we'll just, we could really read so much more, but we'll start, I guess, with verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the Lord is the head of for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And every own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members, members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They two shall be one flesh. What a beautiful. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. Amen. Oneness, absolutely. I'll share this again, but I'd love to just go back through that real quick. The part of that with, oh boy, let's see. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm going to share this, but I'm going to read part of this too. This is, again, from the Amplified. Husbands, love your wives. This is good. Okay, we got to check up on this. Ouch. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring... I feel like I'm going in and out a little bit. He's taking care of it. Let me repeat that. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Isn't that nice? Beautiful? Just as he gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God, so that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy, set apart for God, and blameless. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being, in the sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourishes, protects, and cherishes it. We are members. We are parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery of two becoming one is great, but I'm speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. Again, I'm sorry, that's a little lengthy, but I thought that was just real rich. So, do I need to do anything here, by the way? Is it okay? Pardon? Okay. About now, is You can at least hear me. Okay, we'll keep going. Thank you, guys. Okay, let's keep going on. Just some more things here. Scriptures, Philemon 1, verse 6. We know this one. What do you have? What's good in you? Nothing. But what's good in him? Everything. And I'm a part of him. So, praise the Lord. We've got a lot to rejoice in. Looking at him, not looking at ourselves. So get your eyes off yourselves. Get them on him, the one that you're a part of. All right, if I can get there. Philemon, you... before Hebrews. Verse 6, Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Lord, open our eyes to that, the depth of that reality. The goodness, all that we have need of, it's all in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you're a part of him. All right, just the end of this chapter, we can read, there's so much of that that's so beautiful, but verse 30, we of him, of God, and what did you have into it? What did you have to do with it? Of him are you in Christ Jesus, in the Son, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, all in Christ. He put us there. The Father did, by his grace, and in there, in him, we have wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Nothing of ourselves at all, but it's him by grace, and your identification is him. You're complete in him. I love that. Brother Branham says in the message, End Time Signs Seed, he says he's talking about the faith of Abraham. He says, that's the faith, that is the royal seed of Abraham, that's the kind of seed that takes God's word, that is the thing that'll bring the bride, that is the thing that'll meet Christ, he is the word. And he says, now listen, he says, if the church is sowed with something else besides the word, it can't go to meet him. See, she's got to be the word. He hasn't got a freak body with fungus on it. He's got a perfect body. And he is the perfect word. And the church will be sowed and believe in the perfect word. Now listen what he says next. This is awesome. And the perfect word, him, and the perfect word... Now, sorry. He says, and the perfect... So he's saying what he just said. He was talking about you being that word. The only way you can unite with him, the word, is if you're the word. So he says, and the perfect word, you, the perfect word, him, unite together as one flesh and one body. He's the head and we're the body. As husband and wife is. See? My goodness. Another one here, he says, in the Easter seal, my sister, my brother, let me say this in godly fear, knowing that I may never live to see an Easter again, but if there's one thing sure, when a genuine foreordained Son of God by the Word of God, slow down, let me say that again, when a foreordained Son of God by the Word of God hears that voice of God, he'll rise and go to meet it. Can you say amen? By his grace. It's the potentials that he's going to meet the real living. So see, he says it's the potentials that he's going to meet the real living word. You've had a foretaste of that rapture. You have risen up. The word inside you is connected with that word coming forth. You've heard it, recognized it, identified it. That's home. That's Father. That rising up that he's talking about, that's a foreshadow of us going in one day to be with him. He says it's the potentials that she's going to meet the real living word. And he was, The bride will meet the groom. She's part of his body. You are part of him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. Moving on here. Just a few more. We'll, like I said, just kind of a shorter one tonight. But this, let's turn to 1 John 2, please. And I'll have you read along. I also want to do this one in the Amplified. This is, and I think the beauty here to see in these things as we go through the scriptures is just that the safety and the security in that reality of who I am in and who I am a part of. So verse 27, 1 John 2, verse 27. And Peter Snow, would you read that for us? Wow, isn't that rich? Now I'm going to kind of just go back over that with the Amplified. As for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you've received from him remains permanently in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but just as his anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of the Holy Spirit about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as his anointing has taught you, you must remain in him, being rooted in him, knit into him. And I think that was just so rich to me. I remember the Old Testament, how, you know, was it Abigail that spoke of David, your soul is bound in a bundle of life. Your soul is bound in a bundle of life with your father. Amen. Okay, Jude 1, some more, just oneness and being a part of him, being secure and safe in him. All right. Dad, would you read that one? Jude 1, sorry, verse chapter 1, verse 1. Preserved in Jesus Christ. You're inside him. You are a part. You are safe and secure in there because you are absolutely inseparable from him. That is so beautiful. Sorry, bear with me here again. Jude 1, verse 1. In the West, it's so beautiful. It says, Jude, a bondslave. Appreciate your patience. I'm sorry. I know I'm kind of bouncing between translations here. But this is Weast. It's rich. I'll try to just go slow. Jude, a bondslave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who by God the Father have been loved and are permanent objects of his love. Isn't that beautiful? You've been loved and you're permanent objects of his love. And who for Jesus Christ have been guarded and are in a position of being carefully guarded. I like that. He's watching over you because you're part of him. Amen. To those who were divinely summoned individuals, mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Isn't that rich? Just another one here. Let's turn back to Psalms 37. I thought this was kind of fit in. It was so beautiful. If you want to take another one home tonight and just keep it in your back pocket, maybe, or Psalm 37 and verse 28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. I like that. He does not, so that word forsake, he does not forsake you. He does not loosen. He does not relinquish. He does not give up. You're in him. You are one with him. You're a part of him. You're preserved in him. You're complete in him. You're a part of him, and he's a part of you. Amen. I just love these things. All right, let's just a few more, I think. maybe I'm... This is in the message, Recognizing Your Day, and it's message. I'll try to hurry up here a little bit. He says, like Israel back in her promised land, she didn't know how she got back there. She was just automatically put back there. Why? He says, national force put her in her place. Now I'm going to say something. National force put Israel in her homeland. National force will put the church in the World Council of Churches, but the power of God will put the people in the bride. Amen. The world force, listen to this, the world force is this way. And the world forces that way. And we see that going on more all the time, don't we? But listen to this. I like this. But God forces upward. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is Spirit and life, will put the bride in her place because she'll recognize her position in the Word. Then she's in Christ. He'll put her in her place. No national force will do it. He says, but the power of God will raise the bride into glory and out of it. My goodness. Let's see. This is just another one. He says, that's the church is doing today, for Jesus is the Word. He's the bridegroom, and the bride is part of the groom. Therefore, the Word that is to be fulfilled this day is the same part of the Word that was fulfilled in His day. And it's the same Word, same experience, same life. Because you are part of Him. You are one with Him. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. He says, therefore, when God separated Adam, he was both. We find out Adam was spirit to begin with. He made him in his own image. He made male and female. And then Genesis 2 on, he created man out of the dust of the earth. Man was created in God's image. God is a spirit, so he was a spirit man. And then he became flesh, animal flesh on the earth. He's showing, portraying here, the bride. He never taken and made another being. He took part of Adam, the original creation, took him from him a rib, from his side, took the feminine spirit out of Adam, left the masculine spirit there, and placed in it the feminine part. Therefore, part of his spirit, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life, and that's the way the bride is to Christ. That's why the rapture of the royal seed has to come first. See, that body was already judged. We're a part of that, he says. I just love that. Just two more, I think, and we'll close up here. Just do me a favor. I have these. We won't go through them all, but I, again, looking at this reality, this beautiful reality of oneness, if you search on that, the words, in whom, in him, in whom we have redemption through his blood, in him, all these things, it's all in Christ. It's because you are in him, you're a part of him, and in there, in him, is righteousness. In him, there is redemption. All things that you have need of. Just hand that word right back to Satan when he's speaking to you. Show him your identity. It's here, it's him, it's Christ, the Word. That's who I'm in, and that's who I'm a part of. All right, two more, just try to get this quick and we'll... Letting off the pressure. I like this. Okay, boy, what a message for this hour. Letting off, I like that. He says, let's see here. And when he crossed over what we call Jordan death and come back on Easter morning, bringing the evidence to us that man can live after death, and he brought back a group of grapes too. And he told them to wait up there to the day of Pentecost. They got a bite of it, and they got the evidence that man can live again, and here we are living again. We've raised from the things of death unto new life, and are now set together in heavenly places, already in Christ Jesus, already in eternity, because we become part of his life, eternal life. Amen. And eternal life is God's life, because we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. He goes on, he says, think of it, God, on the day of Pentecost, the pillar of fire separated and tongues of fire set on each of them, God separating himself, dividing himself amongst his people. He says we become God's own life in us. Then we're dead to the things of the world and have risen with Christ and sitting in heavenly places, looking back where we came from. Isn't that beautiful? He says it's enough that we could think of that, he said, and it lets off the pressure, takes the pressure away when we recognize the position that we now hold in Christ by receiving the Holy Spirit, God's own life. The Greek word Zoe means God's own life, dwelling in you, and you can no more die than God can die. We're eternal with the eternal. Isn't that beautiful? Just waiting for the glorious time of the redemption of the body. Amen. Don't you love him? So you can take so many beautiful, of course, word combinations, and just, I would encourage you, look into these things, dig into these things. There's countless, it's all over the place, but this beautiful reality and what he is doing in his bride in this day through this word, a love affair and a union with him. She's becoming one with him. Amen. Isn't it marvelous? One more. He says, this is his message, my Redeemer liveth. Isn't it marvelous today that all shadows passed away? He says, well, I hope that I'll come in the resurrection. No more hope. We have the assurance. Mm-hmm. He says, that's all. We know it. No more hope so, because something happened in our lives that took away all shadows when Christ, the resurrected one, came to our sinful conditions that we were in. The old things died out in the crucifixion with him at the altar, and we rose anew again with him and live with him and reign with him and seated now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are already raised with him. The resurrection is already past as far as we are concerned, because we are now risen with Christ. Amen. Seated heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No more guessing about it. Amen. It's all over. I just love that. No more hopes, no more wishing, no more. It's over. We are now risen with him in heavenly places. Amen. Don't you love it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. At that day, you will know I'm in my Father. Ye in me, I in you. We're one. You are absolutely a part of him, and he is a part of you. Blessed be his name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you, Lord, for your, just love your word, love the reality of it and your grace, Lord, what you've opened up to us, what you've shown us, what you've done in us, Lord, and to see these things. Lord, I pray that you would just quicken them deeper in each heart, Lord. Knowing as the hour gets later and darker, and we know the enemy's battling and pressing from every side. But Lord, to see that we're absolutely part of you and one with you, Lord, and the safety and the security that brings, Lord, we thank you for that. We just ask now that you'd bless the remainder of this service, Lord, as we prepare now for communion, Lord, that you would just be so greatly exalted. Even as we're savoring these things in our hearts and meditating, Lord, and making love to you in our hearts, Lord, just be so glorified, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Identification is such a blessing. But it's not only a blessing, it's so critical for us in this time. But do you know what it is? It's God expressing his love. Because this oneness, you know, when Jesus said, at that day you will know, I'm in the Father, Father's in me, I'm in you, you're in me. That just screams and shouts election and predestination, doesn't it? And it shouts to you that you were with me before the world began. And it shouts, you are part of me, one with me. You didn't know it, but I'm coming after you because I want you to know it. And that oneness, it's an invitation of his love. It's an invitation of the depths of his love to you. This whole walk, it's so wonderful. It's so beautiful. And in John chapter 10, when he says, my sheep know my voice. And it's so much more than just a recognition. It says, what's the next thing? And they shall follow me. Why? He wants you to walk with him. He loves you that much. It's truly a love affair, brothers and sisters. Oh, these words, you can get into just the doctrine of them, but go past that into the life of them. And when you go into the life of them, you see he is love. He is perfect love. You know, even in John 12, I was thinking while you were preaching, Jess, that this incredible love affair of oneness is, he says, in John chapter 12, he says that where I am, my servant will be with me. Why? I want you with me. I don't, even in this journey that we're in now, we can't walk it alone, can we? And he knows that. And he says, don't even try. Because we know that without him we are miserable failures. But with him we are overcomers. Isn't he wonderful? Servers, would you come and let's get ready for the elements? Just for the what it's worth department, these are old, and we have ordered them for what, a couple months now, Nate? But we won't get them till spring. So be patient. So look at this. What do you see? What are you going to hold in your hand? What are you going to put in your mouth? All the things that Jesse preached on tonight, the oneness, the blessings, the beauty, being in him, being a part of him and us in him, transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of his son. Well, it's a love affair. But you know what? Every week, every month, when it comes to communion, he says, I don't ever want you to forget the depth of my love that made this possible. It's so interesting in so much of the Christian walk. We always think of his life, and we should. But here he says, remember my death. And as often as you drink this, remember it. You do this in remembrance of me. This is the depth of my love to you, that I could come to you, that my Father made a way through this, that we could be this one. So we come tonight, let's come with reverence and love back to him. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. You hear that? Broken. Was there pain there? I did it for you. For you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Excuse me, but when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Brother Derek, would you ask a blessing on the bread?
Life came out. And as we partake, Lord, of this, may that same life-giving power to take away poison that comes from the heavenly place just come into us, Lord. Take away the poison that the world would put into us,
mm-hmm.
and deliver us from sin through connecting with you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing now upon this wine, Lord, and just with all our hearts, Lord, even in this moment, want to just to express our worship and our love and admiration, Lord, and to remember the cost, Lord, even with what little we could even begin to consider or imagine, Lord, the rejection and the pain and the suffering and all, Lord, that was given so freely for us, Lord. This blood, this precious blood shed for us, Lord. We just want to say thank you tonight, Lord. We ask that you would be lifted up in every heart, Lord, and each one, as again, as we consider these things, as we remember, Lord, your death, we just want to say thank you. We ask your blessing now upon this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let's come and partake. of Scripture. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. He told the disciples, new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It's pretty deep, isn't it? That's why we belong at one another's feet, not over their heads. Oh God, speak to us. Okay, let's prepare for foot washing. I guess the usual late ladies, do you have a preference? Would you rather stay in here? There's nobody wants to say. Okay. Huh? Okay. See you, ladies. sing that old chorus. How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. Would you stand with me?
How great is our God? How great is his name?
What he's saying to us today, isn't it? I'm going to lead you. Put your trust in me. Don't be afraid. There might be a million soldiers out there and giants, and they might look like you're in between a rock and a hard place, or the Red Sea before you and the army before you. He'll part the waters, right? Because he already told us, I'm taking you all the way over to the promised land. I'm not going to drop you off halfway. You believe him? Could you say that to us? Has he taken us to the promised land? We got a body change. We got a kingdom. It's waiting for us. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, but now I'm coming back to prepare you for that place. So as you get the prepared place and the prepared people together, what a day that will be, huh? What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Couple things on my heart I just want to toss out to you. Brother Greg and we've been talking about trying to have a memorial service for us, for John. And weeks get so busy and everybody's working, and let's do a Sunday morning with church. We'll just make some time in there, and here's what I'd like you to do. Some of you, many of you, were touched by his life, his love. If you'd like to just tell how he has touched your life, please, we'd like to have you speak. It doesn't have to be long, don't worry. But I just want to give everybody opportunity for that. So maybe we'll take the first part of the service Sunday morning, Brother Greg. Is that okay? Also, would you be praying with us? Communion service, we've done it on Wednesday nights because people travel in different directions and are hard, but we're praying about something. Maybe considering the first Sunday of the month having one service in early evening. Let me know your thoughts, would you? I know so many people have so many different working schedules, and I know people that are up at 2 in the morning and have to go to bed by, you know, they don't get much sleep. I know Brother Norman works on Filipino time, and so he's up all hours of the day and night, so nothing of our schedules makes sense to him. So we'd like to have it available where more people have access. And that's our heart's desire. So would you be praying about that with us? And if you have any thoughts, we'd appreciate that. Share them on Grace Ministries or whatever. Okay? God bless you richly. Yes.
there's a substantial amount of something illegal going on up there. So at least the single sisters should probably have an escort.
Oh, my. Tonight?
Right this last hour.
Oh, my goodness.
There was probably a dozen officers.
Woofta. Sisters, don't go out alone. Okay? You grab a young man's arm and have him escort you to your car, please. And even families, don't go alone. Just go in pairs, would you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your protection. We can walk through a world of devils, but with you with us, we'll pass right through. You know, that Jesus walked through multitudes that wanted to kill him, and they didn't touch him. They couldn't. And so we are your purchased possession. We're your children. We're bought and paid for. And now I ask, protect that protection. I know, oh, I love to hear Brother Branham saying, now as each one goes to their car, the angels take their place beside each one of them and take them safely home. Now I'm asking even for that right now. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Commit ourselves into your hands now. Blessed be your name. We love it. We love your name. We love the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God be with you.